Hey, Mr. Solo. Solo on the rocks. You can't beat me. I'm Boba Fett. I'm the greatest bounty hunter ever. Oh, yeah.
And now, transmitting from the city that makes Oakland look like a child's playground, it's Mos Eisley Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome to Mos Eisley Radio, the 100% Gungan-free Star Wars The Old Republic podcast. I'm your host, Brooks Guthrie, and joining me is Zach Brown. Zach, what is up? How's it going?
Howdy doody, neighbor.
Dude, this is episode one. And hopefully it's more exciting than episode one of Star Wars. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, we don't have that high of a bar. But, like, if we keep pacing ourselves, we're going to get progressively worse.
This is true.
But episode four will be kind of a rebound. And then episode five should be, like, epic beyond words.
And then we'll actually want to go back and reshoot episode six. And, you know, because if we get Ewoks in there, then we've just got a whole set of problems. Then... it's just bad.
Maybe,
but hey,
a sub episode, like shadows of the episodes in between episode 5 and 6 or something like that.
Exactly. Maybe I can like somehow manage to like do some fire in episode 6. We're burning Darth Vader. Anyways, that's not what this show is about, though. You know, we'll try
not
to keep it light and amusing, but
we're failing.
Exactly. But anyways, what we wanted to do is just kind of get in on the ground floor, if you will, with this very exciting game from BioWare that's coming up called Star Wars The Old Republic. You know, if you haven't been living under a rock in the video game world for the past year or so, you've heard about this game before. It's very exciting. You know, BioWare's first MMO.
Big. Well, and actually, if you have been living under a rock or a space slug or something like that, you might as well just go on and give a real quick rundown on what this is. Well, if you don't know what an MMO is, it's basically a massively multiplayer online game. And an MMORPG is just an RPG that's set in an MMO surrounding. So there is already currently a Star Wars MMO titled Star Wars Galaxies, which, if you're one of the few that like it, but if you're like the rest of us, you've been waiting for like a really good Star Wars MMO to come around. And actually, I actually did try Galaxies back in the day.
Yeah, like, I did too.
A long time ago. And I was sitting on a planet. I was like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm on Alderaan. Actually, I wasn't on Alderaan. I don't even remember what planet I was on. But there was like a speeder and it drove by me. And I was like, this is cool. And then I just logged off and never played again.
Well, I mean, you know, outside of the content alone, which is Star Wars, which, you know, so many of us love and adore, you know, we've got one of the best teams in gaming behind this, you know, BioWare.
Definitely.
You know, obviously some big titles from BioWare in the past couple of years. You know, we've had, you know, Knights of the Old Republic.
You've got KOTOR, the original.
Yeah, which hands down my favorite RPG of all time.
Favorite KOTOR moment. Oh, man. Like, I remember, well, first off, like, I had no idea what to expect when I played the game the first time. And I remember, like, you get to that mate. I can't remember if it's Coruscant or if it's a planet similar.
I think it's
Coruscant, but you get to it for the very first time. And I remember walking around and I was just like, I feel like this game, like, this world would just expand forever. And it wasn't like that it did. It was just the presentation and the setup. And this was like, you know, 6 years ago. I think it was 2003 when Knights of the Old Republic came out.
I think that's about right.
It's just like the way they laid the game out, it gave you that illusion like immediately, like you could do whatever you wanted and you could go anywhere. And like going back and look at it, it was, I'm sure it's extremely limited. I haven't busted out KOTOR in a long time, but knowing that that's their mindset and like this is how BioWare works. It's got me so pumped about this game.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, some of the other big titles from BioWare, you know, this is a huge company. So Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2, which were really, like, you know, some of the ground level, really established the RPG industry. Neverwinter Nights, Jade Empire, and Mass Effect was obviously a huge success.
Yeah.
Mass
Effect 2 is something that they just recently announced also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's expected early next year. But we're here to talk about The Old Republic, which is like we said. Which is like we said.
Very excited about this game.
The MMO version of Knights of the Old Republic. Definitely, first and foremost, as a companion to listening along with us, definitely check out the Old Republic website. It's SWTOR.com. And they've got a whole lot of information about everything that's going on with the game. And basically, we're going to be breaking that down and going through it and analyzing it and, you know, doing our hopes and fears for what the game could possibly be. But as far as timeline goes, you know, obviously we had, you know, the Sith Empire was big, and then they, you know, disappeared for about 1,000 years and came back. And then we had the return of the Mandalorians. And so the timeline for the game is, you know, right when the Sith have come back, they forced the Republic into this peace treaty kind of thing that's really just not working out for anybody yeah. besides the Sith. Kind of the culmination of the precursor to this treaty signing can be seen in the trailer that they released at E3.
Oh, which, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's called Deceived, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Everyone was so excited about this.
Sick.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
For me, it was better. That trailer alone, you know, this in-game or this engine-created footage was better than the three prequels combined.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, like, that captured the... I mean, when I saw the trailer, I probably watched it 4 or 5 times that night. I was just like... Well, somebody, I think it was Alex Albrecht on the Totally Rad show, kind of, he got it right when he was like, the thing that excites him about this trailer is BioWare is just, they're showing you that they've been able to capture this feeling. Like, they're showing, like, each character in this trailer is kind of like reflected. You see a lot of what the trooper class is going to look like, or the bounty hunter, or what a smuggler class is going to look like, or the Dark Sith. Or the Dark Jedi Sith Lord, or a Jedi Master. And you just get an idea of how this game is going to feel. It kind of excites you a lot, like watching the Blizzard trailers for mm-hmm. any WoW-related expansion or video game. And it kind of reminds me of the original World of Warcraft game trailer for all of the classes.
God. Yeah.
And it kind of shows you, like, what's going on with each class and gets you excited about that class and game. And you think of all the possibilities that could happen. So it's like I'm watching this trailer and it's like, oh my goodness, I want to play that class just because I want to be able to do that. And it's especially watching the bounty hunter class and like how sleek and fast this girl is in the video and everything. And it's just like, it really gives you that feeling of, it's like, I want to do that, you know?
So. Yeah. Well, that's, you know, talking about the classes, that's one of the big draws for this game, as opposed to maybe some other MMOs and especially Galaxies. You know, each individual class is going to have its own related storyline. And then within...
Yeah, and then 100% unique.
Exactly. And then within that, you get to make your own decisions about how the storyline plays out. So uh-huh. So if you remember from World of Warcraft, which I'm sure we're going to draw comparisons quite a bit because, you know, this is going to be one of the big competitors. Well, and the art style is similar.
Well go,
things
we
like
might
that.
As well go on and throw this out. I mean, I've played several MMOs and in the past, and I think the only one that I've put, I shouldn't say significant, because I've got several hours into games like City of Heroes and Final Fantasy XI, and I might not have been as hardcore in some of those games, but I can definitely consider myself a WoW hardcore player at one point in my life. So it's the one game I can relate to the most. However, I do not want this to be a WoW clone by any means. I just want to throw that out there. I'm like, don't want this to be a WoW clone that's in a Star Wars setting.
Well, like I was saying, like one of the things that's going to really set it apart, like if you remember from World of Warcraft, you know, periodically throughout your time playing, say if you're a paladin, you had these, you know, class-specific quests that, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of changed the gameplay a little bit, allowed you to do different things. But, you know, what's awesome about the Old Republic is that they're designing the gameplay around this idea that, you know, you're going to do your side quests to get money and resources and experience and stuff like that. But, you know, your main reason for being there is to develop your character and, you know, be a part of this story of, you know, mm-hmm. how the Republic came about and all that kind of thing. You know, if you remember, this is set like over 3,000 years before Vader came around. So I there's a lot of opportunities for players to really get into their characters and, you know, really explore the different options that they can take in quests and stuff like that. So,
well, and I'm like the excited. Other really cool thing about this is, unlike other MMOs, it's kind of like when you get in game and you want to play another class, the idea is I want to just blow through that class as fast as I can to get it at an in-game level. But the thing is
talking
it's
about
very
in like World
repetitive.
Of Warcraft or something like that.
What's that?
You're talking about like in World of Warcraft or something like that, right?
Well, yeah, like well in a game like that, like if you're playing you want to play something different, I mean, you don't really care about the game again. It's just kind of like, ugh, I got to go through this whole process mm-hmm. again. Some people enjoy that, but the majority of the people really don't because it's the same thing over again. And the cool thing about this, you know, everyone having a completely different storyline or a quest line for their specific character, it makes it to where it's like if you did play a smuggler class and then you want to play a trooper class after that, you're not going to go through the exact same steps and you're going to have a completely different story. So it's going to be almost like playing a different game all over again. You'll probably have a rough idea of what could happen or is going to happen, but it will be told differently from a different point of view through a different set of eyes. And that really gives the game some legs in terms of.
And even within that, you know, like you and I could both choose to play a trooper, and we'll go through the classes here in just a little bit, kind of highlight what's going on. You and I could both choose to play a trooper, but you could be like the nicest guy in the world, and I could be a complete dick, and we'd end up having completely different gameplay experiences.
Yeah.
At least in terms of, you know, the quests that open up for us and, you know, how our character develops. And, you know, I think one of the great things that's going to be about this game is, you know, it really gives us a lot of opportunity to really get into your character. You know, for me, World of Warcraft was, you know, a fun experience, but in the end, it was really just about, like, I don't know, just having, like, the most stuff and doing things just because that's what, you know? Like, I feel, don't get me wrong.
What's great about this game is the fact that everything is going to be spoken. And so, like, when you're trying to tell a story in an MMO, really, the only way you can tell that story is by giving players lots of text to read and just hope that they read it all. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I'm playing a video game, I really don't want to read because that's just like more work that I have to do. I have terrible vision as it is. So like, I'm not like the biggest fan of when it comes to that kind of stuff. And this is going to bring so much more to the story by having all of this dialogue.
Yeah,
and
to clarify what you're saying, like this is one of the heaviest dialogue games that's ever been created before. They have thousands and thousands of hours of high quality dialogue work, you know, that they've hired, you know, overdubbing people to do. So
they're like showing off, or they're stating that they're going to be the first fully voiced MMO where everything. In every action and everything in this game, from my understanding, is supposed to be spoken, and then they're going to have voice acting for every bit of dialogue that takes place in this game. So, I mean, just as simple as like you going and talking to someone and receiving some type of quest, like they'll tell you what it is, and you can sense emotion through their voice, through their body language. Through just the like, I mean, it's one thing when you read it, but it's another when you hear it, when it's acted out to you. You can connect way more emotionally with that character or with that person than if it's just a guy that's like, I need this done, go get 20 of these, come back here.
Yeah,
which is the stereotypical quest or mission for any type of MMO: go kill 20 of these, or go grab 20 of these and come back to me. And so, like, because of the voice dialogue, it's gonna, at least I hope it's going to, like, give you like a sense of connection with that character, or maybe a better bit of understanding of why that character wants you to do it. It just immerses you more in the environment, and it makes like everything seem that much more real, which is just super exciting.
I totally agree. So, you know, we've got an established timeline, voice acting that's going to allow us to get, you know, really into the game. And we've talked about, you know, like how each class has its own kind of storyline. So thus far, we know about basically five classes that are going to be in the game.
And well, technically, we only know three.
Technically, we only know three. Those are the only three that have been listed on the site thus far. But interviews and press releases.
So
those three classes.
The first class. Well, there's two sides. First off, there's the Sith, And then there's the, well, I wouldn't say the Rebellion
It's the Galactic Republic.
It's the Galactic Republic, which I really hate that because, like, I like the Rebels being the small guys that are, like, the underdogs and, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is a different time period.
I know. It's a whole different time period. So you've got the Galactic Republic and you've got the Sith. And basically there's four classes for each. And for the Galactic Republic, they've revealed so far as there being a trooper. And there's also a smuggler class.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Sith, or the Sith Empire, there's the bounty hunter class.
Yep.
Now, there's two more classes for the Galactic Republic, and there's three more for the Sith Empire.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of speculation that two of those classes you can go on and fill as being Jedi.
Pretty much.
Obviously, and people are going to be able to play Jedi at this game, just based on the screenshots. Everyone wants to be a Jedi. That's kind of the core of Star Wars.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen any of the interviews and like the release videos on the site from the various people within the company. Movie. Yeah. You know, the CEO of BioWare was like, "Look, everybody wants to be a Jedi." And so we kind of went into this game with an idea that, you know, let's put ourselves in a time period where there's going to be hundreds and thousands of Jedi running around on both sides, and, you know, allow players to explore that. And so, yeah, Jedi are going to be a playable class in the game. You can pretty much
bet on it. Well, here's my theory on this.
And I'm betting from the beginning, too.
Okay. Well, here's my theory on this. I kind of think initially, and I kind of hope this is the case, that initially the Jedi is not a playable class. And I don't want it to be one of those things where, like, once you reach a certain level, you unlock the class. I really want it to be one of those things where you can transition your character into, like, the pathhood of being a Jedi. And so you, at a certain point in the game, are presented opportunities to choose if you want to follow that path or not. And if you do, then it'll completely change your character. But if you don't, then you can just continue to play out, like, the class or the character that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I hope, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, and I kind of, it'd be interesting to hear what your thoughts of this would be, or if you even like this idea, that like something comes along and say that I'm a smuggler. And then at one point in the game, I get approached, or a situation happens where I get the opportunity to practice becoming a Jedi. So then I like transition over into this Jedi character, and then I'm no longer a smuggler. And then from that point on, I'm like a Jedi that's on its pathhood to becoming a Jedi Knight or a Sith Lord, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a part of me that, you know, really wants to get into the lore of Star Wars and, you know, everything about that. And then there's a part of me that realizes, you know, being realistic about making a video game that's going to be really popular. And let's be honest, a competitor to World of Warcraft. So, the part of me that really wants to get into the universe and stuff like that totally agrees with you. The fact that I don't want to see Jedi running around from day one with their lightsabers and all this kind of crap, doing force jumps from, you know, wherever to wherever.
Yeah.
You know, because that stuff's cool, but, you know, like when Galaxies first started, when Jedi was, and I don't necessarily want this to be based off Galaxies because that was just ridiculous. But,
yeah.
But, you know, when Jedi was such a ridiculously hard thing to attain, you know, I want it to be like a status symbol almost, you know,
for the elite few hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, you have the other side of me goes, well, you have to be realistic. You're making a Star Wars game. You're set in a universe where there are hundreds and thousands, like I said, of Jedi just running around, you know, duking it out in these battles, you know, just here and there and all over the place. And, you know, it's probably going to be a playable class from the beginning. And in the long run, I'm okay with that, I guess.
Well, the interesting thing about that, though, is if you think about it is, I mean, what kind of effect do you think that'll have on the overall game if they do allow Jedi classes to be unlocked or playable from day one, the moment you sign up? Because, like, the one thing that comes to mind is it's the one thing that, you know, everyone wants to do, especially the Sith Lord, which is why I don't want to play a Sith class. And we'll get into that later. But there's going to be so many people just wanting to be the evil Sith Jedi Knight. Well, not Jedi Knight. That's contradictory. The evil Sith Jedi. Is that even
I think it's evil.
Just the evil, the Sith.
Yeah.
That the fact that they basically, when you start the game, is that all you're going to run across? I mean, I don't know how the party system's going to work, but we do know based upon the demo at E3 that you are, and from what they've told us, that you will party with other people, and they encourage you to party with other people to play this game. It's like, is it going to be one of those things where you're just running around and everyone you run into is a Sith? And it's like, well, yeah. Who's playing the bounty hunter class? Well, and it's like,
yeah, my take on this would be that no matter how they decide to implement the Jedi and the Sith into the game, you know, we don't really have a whole lot of details on how gameplay is going to really yeah. work. You know,
I guess the only thing we have to go off of is how Knights of the Old Republic was.
Exactly. And it's definitely going to be different from that. You know, okay, we've seen a little bit of maybe party play, and we know that there's going to be, based on the last kind of like video thing that they did on their site, there's going to be party play where you're making decisions in kind of like instanced-ish areas. Is what I took from it. But, you know, beyond that, we don't really know how the story is going to progress as a whole, and how you're going to level up and how that's going to change gameplay. You know, are we going to have raids like we have in World of Warcraft? I kind of hope not. But at the same time, I don't want it to be like Tabula Rasa, where it's just totally lame and stupid. Again, it's just we just really don't know at this point. So it's all speculation.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, if I had my way, it would be... they would integrate them into the game in a way that, you know, you can't just have thousands of Jedi running around. You know, you require these trooper and the smuggler classes. You know, in the same way that you have a tank and a rogue and a mage in a World of Warcraft group, I really think we're going to have that same kind of class dynamic that's really going to prevent you from having Jedi just running around partying all together and just
see.
Raping,
I think it'd be
stuff.
Interesting if they kind of implement a system where you just don't have to go through the whole tank and healer and DPS triangle.
Trust me, I totally hope that too. But
yeah, well, know, I mean,
you just have to consider that because that's the way it has been for so long.
That is, and I kind of, based upon some of the stuff that they've told us, I kind of get the impression that they're gonna approach the game a little bit with that mindset, just because they talk about there's three pillars to an MMO, and they're adding a fourth one, and the fourth one is story, and that's mm-hmm. and in the I wish I could find what they the like a quote of what they said the other three pillars were, but it was like I want to say like economy and
I know what you're talking about though.
But what I'm saying is, I guess what their mindset from what I've read is they're just taking the MMO that we know now and evolving it to something more, not making something completely new and different in terms of MMO gameplay.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like it is going to have a little bit of the typical feel of what the popular MMOs are, with more added on to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that more added on to it is the whole story mechanic or the storyline mechanic.
Yeah. And now, I took a look at 1UP.com's kind of review of what they saw at E3, and they definitely made some comparisons from the little quest line thing that they ran through of, you know, how certain classes were definitely like certain other classes in popular MMOs. You know, like, I think they drew the comparison that either the Jedi or the smuggler was very much like the rogue. And,
yeah,
you know, our troopers,
it's how you would picture the trooper would be like a tank, probably
kind of sort of. Yeah. So we still, again, it's all speculation at this point, how gameplay is going to turn out. But
it's kind of funny on 1UP.com. You can like rate the game so far, and the average
it's OMG.
Rating is OMG.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's
pretty funny. So hopefully, I think our plan in future episodes is to kind of go through and really break down these classes, especially as new ones come out, in detail. You know, like, take a look at everything about the trooper and what makes that an interesting class to play, and, you know, what's unique about the trooper and all that kind of stuff.
So just talking about the game, and I'm sure you've been thinking about it a lot, like I have. What are like some things that you like? Oh, like, what do you want to play? I mean, if you can play it. It doesn't necessarily... It can be based on something that they've already told us or something that they haven't told us yet.
Yeah.
And do you got a race in mind?
God. Well, here's... one of my problems is, as much as I love Star Wars, I don't know, like, a whole crap ton about the lore like you do. So I can look at something and say, oh, yeah, that's awesome, but I can't exactly always tell you the name for it. So I'm kind of leaning towards a bounty hunter who is, I can't remember the race. One of the Jedi on the council in the prequel is this race. He's really weird looking.
You're probably going to say like the guy I'm thinking of, which is the race I want to play. There's a guy named Plo Koon.
Yes. Yes.
He's a Keldor.
Yeah. From,
like, Dorian or something like that, I think is the name of the planet. And he's got, they breathe like some type of methane type thing. They basically kind of look like a cross between a Tusken Raider and a badass.
Exactly.
So it's
and
like
a badass.
I mean, they just look intimidating, but they're on. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to think of the.
Did you ever play Star Wars Jedi Power Battles?
No.
Back in the day, it was like a side-scrolling beat 'em up Star Wars Jedi game, and Plo Koon or Plo Koon was one of the guys you could play as, and
yeah,
he was awesome.
Okay, so the race is Keldor.
Yeah, Keldor.
And they're from the planet Doran. And so you're right there.
Okay.
So yeah, that's Plo Koon, two words, Plo and Koon.
Okay, well, you kind of
anyways.
Kind of stole my thunder, but I want to be a light Jedi, single lightsaber, none of the dual crap. I'm sure you'll get the option.
I'm totally disregarding Jedi at this point, too, because I'm definitely going to roll one at some point.
Oh, well, I'm definitely, like, the moment I play the game, I'm doing that. And if, like, Jedi isn't a playable class, I'm going to play a class that's probably most similar to the role of what a Jedi would be before coming a Jedi. But, yeah, I will be Keldor and own it up, hopefully.
Awesome. Awesome.
But, something I want to talk about real quick. Like, the thing is, for instance, bounty hunter. Like, if you're a bounty hunter, you have to start off on as part, being a part of the Sith Empire. Now, they haven't really given us a whole lot of how the gameplay is going to work, but do we know if you're a part of the Sith Empire, can you party up with...
I think the way it works, and this is based solely on wording on their website, they use the phrase kind of like you have to pick a side. They're talking more like epically about...
This is in the FAQ section too, I think.
Yeah. Or like the general overview, something like that. They talked kind of epically about like picking a side and all that kind of stuff. So I'm assuming that there's not going to be any like crossing over from one faction to the other, which is kind of disappointing because
here's the only thing, but there's something that they said that's in the FAQs on their website that kind of makes me wonder different. And basically the question is, will I be able to play the light or dark side of the Force? And it says, yes, during character selection, you will align yourself with the Republic or with the Sith Empire. In addition, throughout the game, you'll be faced with many decisions and choices which can change your path down the light or dark side. So basically, from what it's saying there in the FAQ, is it's almost like you can start off being a dark side character or joining with the Sith Empire, and you can cross over.
I would totally support that.
I would too.
And you know,
because it would definitely add a lot of diversity to the game. It wouldn't be this rigid bounty hunters are always bad and smugglers are always good kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make everything kind of have more of a gray kind of tone or atmosphere to it, to where it's just like, there's a bounty hunter over there. Is he good? Is he bad? I don't really know, but do you want to come party with us? You know?
Yeah. Like I don't, you know, and they've been masters of, you know, just kind of variance in terms of allegiance. You know, like with Baldur's Gate, you had so many options. You know, it could be like neutral good or, you know, like good lawful or, you know, all these different things. So they've had experience with that before. And I would totally support that. I just, you know, we don't know anything about that yet. They haven't come out and explicitly said, hey, you can change sides at some point through some series of quests based on your class. I think one of the great things about BioWare is that they're really looking ahead at how all these things are going to weave together. And I have a feeling we're not going to know about a whole lot of it till near the very end when they're getting towards release and stuff like that.
Or they're allowing beta access.
Exactly. Like exactly. We don't know really anything about at this point.
And I will probably be playing a lawful good character just because that's my personality.
Yeah, that's right up your alley.
So what do you think? Republican credits?
Oh, God.
You're on Tatooine. What? Republican credits are no good out here.
Do you think the Hutts are going to be in the game as a playable class?
A Hutt as a playable class?
Or not a playable class, a playable race.
Or yeah, a race.
like a
I don't know, dude. I don't know how smuggler. They could like you could have a Hutt smuggler. He'd be like, do a barrel roll, you know?
Yeah.
I have no idea how that would work out, but that would be pretty funny to
see. Yeah, I mean, we should mention they haven't said anything about races yet whatsoever.
No.
From the trailers and I mean, we've seen Sith, obviously, and we've seen some humans and some Twi'leks. That's really about it. I'm trying to think of any, you know, oddly raced bounty hunters, but they've talked about...
There will be Wookiees in it.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I'm sure Kashyyyk will be a big draw as one of the planets.
On Calamari or Rodians will probably be in it.
Probably. Yeah, those are... really accessible classes that aren't too ridiculous. Hutts would be a ridiculous playable class.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do as a Hutt.
Whatever Cibola is.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't even know. He's a Doug, right? Yeah, a Doug.
Oh, a Doug, yeah. Gosh. You remember that. See, I try to forget first three episodes.
Just everything about episode one you've just kind of written off. Yay! Anyways.
Oh, starting to break our rule of...
Exactly, 100% Gungan free. Anyways, I think the last thing we want to touch on this episode is some of the planets that we're going to be playing on. You know, they've talked about, you know, traveling around space and visiting these different scenic points from, you know, both Knights of the Old Republic and stuff that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
So some we've got four that are on the website right now, and I'm assuming that we're going to have quite a few more. But
yeah, the planets are probably going to be pretty familiar ones that we've got. If
yeah,
oh,
so,
you're gonna
well, do- yeah, I've got the list here. We can run down. So we've got Tython, which is you know, the original home of the Jedi. You know, where the Force was discovered. And I'm going to kind of draw comparisons to worlds that are already in or areas that are already in World of Warcraft so we can kind of get an idea. I took a look at the screenshots. So Tython is really, really lush. You know, it's got all these old temples and stuff like that from when the Jedi were first there. And it reminded me a lot of Lac Modan, which is kind of the second area for dwarves in World of Warcraft, you know, it's in gnomes. It's very lush, you know, kind of going
it
on.
It kind
that
of
temple
gives
thing.
You that whole. It feels like something from Naboo from the Star Wars movies.
Sort of, yeah. Without the Gungans.
It's got like this sense of royalty and tranquility and all that kind of stuff. I kind of feel like if there were a planet that would be a starting planet for the Republic. It would be, if
probably
it wasn't
be
Tython.
Tython,
it would be this.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then a very likely choice for the starting point of the Sith Empire would be Korriban. Which we saw both Tython and Korriban in Knights of the Old Republic. So Korriban, if you remember, is the home of the Sith after the whole Civil War thing on Tython. A bunch of Jedi ran away and took over basically the Sith Empire. You know, Sith are an actual race of people who lived on Korriban and have been corrupted over years and stuff like that. So it's a desert, but there's also a lot of like runes and like temples and stuff like that spread around the place. Obviously, it's very similar to Tython in that respect, but it's a desert. So it reminded me a lot of, you know, like the Barrens or Thousand Needles. Something along those lines, you know. But if you look at the trailers with their art style, there's a lot of red, a whole lot of red, as opposed to kind of brown.
It's basically, it's got that, you know, Mars-ish theme, which kind of
absolutely
is what you would draw into comparison as being a Sith. Just red is just like the natural color for evil. So it that kind of tone is what's going to fit perfectly. in with the Sith Empire, and it kind of, because of that, I kind of draw the conclusion here, which I'm sure you've done the same, is this would probably be some sort of starting planet.
Oh, yeah, for absolutely.
The Sith Empire.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this is because this is a time period where there's thousands and thousands of Sith. Like, in the Star Wars lore, it talks about, like, at one point in time there were, which is this time period, where there were so many Sith, and, like, they were just all so corrupted and, like, evil, they would just constantly turn on each other. And it was why nothing could ever really get, they could never achieve any sort of victory, or they had no focus, because it was like, the moment they would start to do something, somebody would backstab someone else just to, like, advance. And I kind of wonder, just, like, knowing the type of people that play MMO games, and, like, how the Sith is probably going to attract a lot of griefers. It's like, what are the chances of, like, a lot of people playing Sith doing this to other people? And I think it's going to fit in perfectly, actually, with the Star Wars lore, just because it's kind of like the whole thing when you have a person playing a character with a lot of power and the ability to grief with it. Like, I think they'll take full advantage of it. And I think it's just going to add that much more to, like, the setting and of the time period in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, that's an interesting concept, you know, the fact that, you know, they couldn't really do a whole lot to get together and actually get something done. But we're actually entering the game in a period where they have managed to kind of come together in some force for at least a little period of time and, you know, force the Jedi into this treaty kind of thing. And, you know, they talked about in one of their videos about how, you know, at this point in the game when we're first starting in, there's a lot of, like, border skirmishes and, like, little land battles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because nobody's really ready to break down and say, hey, we're going to throw the entire
game.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, exactly. I need to talk to you, Dane, right now. Right now. You know, nobody's ready to say, hey, let's throw the galaxy.
I'm gonna drop a jet. I'm gonna drop a starship in the Jedi Temple, full of Sith, and we're all just gonna fight. Oh my gosh, I think I'm gonna watch that trailer again.
Yeah. So I mean, we're entering in the game into a really interesting time, and we're gonna see how, you know, once the Sith have come together to force the Republic to sign this treaty, how things are probably gonna very quickly fall apart for the Sith.
Yeah.
And you know how that. How players choosing that side to play are going to have some interesting choices. And I'm sure there will be their own set of choices on the Galactic Republic side. But anyways, we've got two other planets that we know about too. They're both very criminal driven. And those are Hutta, which is the home of the Hutts.
Yeah.
The home of the Hutt crime lords. And that reminded me a lot of the Wetlands. With a hint of, like, pollution and smog and stuff like that.
It's just basically like, I was going to say something and I'm not going to say it.
Okay. Well, that's just kind of like the outside. You know, you have to remember that the Hutts built these huge temples for themselves. And within that, there's going to be, like, Twi'lek strip clubs and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's obvious, you know, that's in the lore. That's what it's going to be in there.
Yeah.
And
it's going
to, go ahead.
It's going to be like one of those just deals where it's kind of like Mos Eisley, but the whole planet.
Yeah. The whole planet is a complete crap.
Actually,
pile.
Tatooine is just kind of like, I don't know. It's going to be a fun planet to play.
It will.
Did they have Hutta and
I don't remember.
KOTOR?
I don't remember it being in there.
I don't remember either. Gosh, it's been so long since I played that game. I need to replay
it. Exactly. So the final planet we know about, and I don't really know much about this planet. Maybe you can enlighten me, but it's Ord Mantell. So in the context of the universe that we're in now, it's actually technically controlled by the Republic or the Galactic Republic.
Yeah.
But it's basically run by criminals. You know, it's
I mean, it's kind of like one of those planets where smugglers go to purchase stuff from the black for the black market or on the black market, not for the black market, but it's kind of like one of those. There's all this sketch or like totally shady activity going on.
It's
going
to be high for a lot of like bounty hunters.
Which is kind of interesting. I guess a mindset you could have is, are all these planets, if they were starting planets for specific classes, it's kind of like Ord Montel would be the starting planet.
That's true.
At least I would
think of
the starting planet for a smuggler class.
Or a bounty hunter.
And a bounty hunter class.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really thought about that before. But, you know, we have obviously these aligned planets like Tython and Korriban, mm-hmm. and then some of the neutral planets could be where some of the other more generalized classes start. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't really realized that.
The other thing we also don't know, and I kind of would be shocked if this was part of the game, but we don't know if planets can change alignment throughout the game or not.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really mentioned a whole lot about player versus player combat or, mm-hmm. like, you know, in the Warhammer game, you know, how whole cities can shift in terms of control.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost kind of doubt that they'll introduce that on that grand of a scale, but, you know, maybe something a little bit smaller in terms of, I mean, we have to assume that they're going to introduce some kind of player versus player combat.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think so too, because like the whole idea behind this game is the whole story is built up between the Sith Empire challenging the Galactic Republic for its existence. And I kind of feel like with that huge of a setup, I mean, based upon just the trailer we've seen, it would be kind of sad if that wasn't at all, like, you weren't a part of this war somehow, more than just, like, a story, I guess you'd say. Like, I really hope that you as a player have an effect on or an impact in the universe or in the game to where it'll shape the outcome of that war. So, ideally, I'd like to see it where at one point in time, like, you could be like, oh, the Republic is like the decisive winners right now. Like the Sith are just getting everything handed to them. But then, you know, 2 weeks later, everything could change. I mean, I don't want it to be like completely unstable to where it's like, well, I can't do anything because this planet is being controlled by the Sith or the Republic. But it'd be kind of nice if it was kind of like you get that sense like in the fourth Star Wars movie when the stormtroopers are like interrogating everyone at Mos Eisley. It's kind of like, we're the droid, or show us your droids, all that kind of stuff. And if you're like a Republic person and you're operating on a planet that's being occupied by the opposing faction, that they make it harder, or like you have to take extra steps just to complete your mission, just so that a way you can get around, you know, like the group that's occupying the planet. And obviously this is all just pure speculation, mm-hmm. or something that I think would be kind of cool if they could make it work and fit into the game.
Sure.
If they could, that'd be awesome. If they can't, oh, I mean, you know, I'd understand, but that's like definitely something that I'd just like to throw out. It'd be a great idea for it.
So if you had one planet that we don't know about yet to pop up and be playable on, what would it be for you?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, I mean, I like Coruscant because I know it's going to be in there. I think it'd be kind of cool to be able to go to Yavin 4.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Because, the one of the moons, I guess you would say, because technically Yavin 4 is like a gas giant.
Yeah.
But there's like this group that was like supposed to represent like the light side of the Force, or they were really powerful. And it was like thousands of years before the Star Wars movies took place, and like they lived and they built these ruins on the moon of Yavin, which the rebels had their base
Yavin,
in. They're called like the Masasi.
Yavin 4 is one of the moons, and Yavin Prime is the actual gas giant.
Okay. I was like trying to like remember all from the old Star Wars CTG game we used to play back in the
day. I'm on Wikipedia, so.
So like there were these, you should look up the Masasi. Because they basically were like this powerful race of beings, but they were all obliterated by Exar Kun, which was like this really, 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 really like super powerful dark Jedi. And that would be kind of cool. Like if somehow, because this takes place so long before the original movies, like if they are like actually there building the planets at that point in time, because I don't believe you go to any of the Yavin moons in any of the KOTAR games.
Maybe. You may go to a space station out there, if I remember correctly. But anyways.
Yeah, it would be kind of cool to like see that race implemented in the game, if at all possible.
I mean, according to this, like, they were enslaved by the Dark Jedi on Korriban. So, I mean, there's definitely opportunity for them to kind of bring that in together.
Yeah.
But I think for me, obviously Kashyyyk is probably a planet that they're going to release as the home of the Wookiees, which would be pretty cool. And I'd really like to see, like, a Dantooine.
Yeah.
We got to visit at the Jedi Enclave. Remember that? So I think that could be a really cool planet. I mean, obviously, they kind of already have that in Tython. But, you know, I think it's definitely, if they're going to be introducing the Jedi class, which obviously they will, it's going to be one of your stops on, like, the, you know, developing your character and stuff like that. That would be my best guess.
Yeah. Well, I think that's pretty much going to do
it. Yeah, I think that's...
For episode one.
Yeah, that wraps us up pretty well. You know, I think at this point in time, with the game still kind of a ways away from release, we're going to be looking every couple of weeks or something like that for release.
Yeah, we're wanting to... Basically, what we're wanting to do is... I mean, there's little information comes out, and it's very slow pace at the pace that it is coming out. So it's going to be one of those things I think we're just going to... Try to wait until some new information comes out so we have something to talk about. We're going to, in the next maybe few weeks or so, put out a couple podcasts, hit on more, in a little more detail on the characters and talk about the characters that they have announced, and then maybe have a little bit more in-depth discussion about how they're going to work, what you can do with them, what we can imagine doing with them, all that kind of stuff. And until, like, we get more access with it, we'll probably just make shows when they... just release new information, and up until the point when hopefully one of us can get beta access and, you know, just talk about the game in general from that. And then, you know, ideally once the game comes out at some point, we'd like to turn this into a full-time show and basically just like hammer it out every week, talk about what's going on in game, what we're enjoying about the game, what we've been doing in game, just share funny stories about it.
Absolutely.
And then talk about the news and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, yeah. So in the meantime, you know, feel free to contact us. You know, my email is brooks@brooksguthrie.com. Zach, what's yours?
Well, I can give out my nerd email for this.
Go for it.
I've got masterjediz@hotmail.com. It's funny because it's like I've got three email addresses, and it's like one if I got to do something that's more professional or more business-like. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not that big of a nerd where I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm Master Jedi Z, bitch. You know?
So. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, feel free to contact us. Obviously, we're just kind of getting into this thing, but we'd really love to hear some feedback. Also, in the next couple of weeks, hopefully we'll be putting together a website where we can kind of have a repository for both our shows and, you know, information as it comes out, things like that. Anyways, I think that about that about does it for us this week. We'll see you next time. Take care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mos Eisley Radio, the 100% Gungan free Old Republic podcast.
I can't do it.
Oh fuck.
Mos Eisley Radio, you listen to? Yes. Good for you. Yes.
Oh, God.
Go. I'm sorry. I got laugh out. It was. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mos Eisley Radio. This is episode one. Be like, welcome to Mos Eisley Radio. Welcome to Mos Eisley Radio.
Good morning, Tatooine.
I was thinking the same thing.